Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
That woman is Layla Rahimi.
Hello.
We're Spiegs.
Tony, I'm going to need to leave early today for Rosh Hashanah.
How many drops do you think we got out of that interview?
My name is Bill Curtis. I'm with CBS News.
Yeah, and now every time I'm in a situation like that, whose voice do you think I'm going to hear? It used to be Ralph Wiggum saying I'm in danger, and now it has just been replaced by something even more terrifying.
Today, we're in trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. You don't want to do that a whole lot of time, but it's part of the job. You know, I did this little movie called Anchorman. Nobody cares about the Constitution, apparently. Radio broadcasting can save lives. It can be meaningful and for people, life and death. And I said, for God's sake, take cover.
Well, that's coming back.
The rumor is that he's brain damaged.
Well, that's coming back.
Whoa. This isn't where we want to be. He said, I'm going to give him a whipping now. Corporate greed. Give him a whipping. According to MAGA, they're part of the MAGA game.
Are we going to bring that back, right?
The ratings will be so high tonight.
Whoop, whoop. Here I come. Oh, here I come. Oh.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes, Chicago.
Had a good sound to it.
That's how you do it.
Layla Rahimi sitting in for Spiegs, which is great because she spent a lot of time on Chicago television as well.
I don't have your voice, Rahimi. Bill. I'm so sorry.
Well, you look great.
If Chris Tannehill didn't pull that for his show tomorrow, I don't know.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here until 6 o'clock, and there is a lot for us to discuss. You heard the open, brilliantly put together by Chris Tannehill. There is the smiling man himself, Alex Kuhn, our EP. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Well, you look great.
I'm Leland, but you look great.
Oh, Bill Curtis can get away with stuff, huh? Because he's Bill Curtis. It's impressive.
So she's got Bill Curtis.
Yeah.
And Billy D. Williams have now...
Admirers?
Yeah. That's a pretty good list.
That's pretty strong.
Welcome, Layla.
That's pretty strong.
It's a pretty good list.
We had a backup singer in Tributosaurus at one point who was singing 99 Luftballons, and Jesse Jackson walked into the room to this gig that we were playing, and he was very into her, very into her as a singer, and he was just like, yeah, yeah. So she held on to that one for a decade or so.
So I apologize for being late. I was just upstairs with Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh, Jesse, how you doing? Come meet Stinger.
Hey, Reverend.
Meet Stinger, too. Yeah.
Guys performing at the Defender again? What's going on?
We're at Navy Pier's Grand Ballroom for the NATO Summit, but thanks for asking. Hi, everybody. It's Spiegel and Holmes. I missed Bill Curtis. That sounded fun.
It was amazing. It was an amazing interview, and he couldn't have been more Bill Curtis.
He's just is that guy.
It was great.
And he gave us promos. I wasn't even here, and he dropped my name.
He thought I was you.
Well,
and so he dropped a thanks, Layla and Matt, and I was like, I'm Lawrence.
Well, congrats to you for that moment. Yeah, that must have been big.
It's a huge moment for me.
I know.
We're giving away a pair of tickets to see Ice Cube's Truth to Power 4 Decades of Attitude Tour. That's going to be on Monday, October 6th at the United Center. Tickets are at Ticketmaster.com. And be caller 6 at 312-540-0670 when you hear me spit Ice Cube lyrics.
Love it. Love it. We got an action-packed Bears-heavy show with Mark Grody later on and Alex Brown later on, and Bears topics that you and I want to discuss as well.
Alex Brown's on a boat.
He is, right?
He's back on a boat. So we will talk to him about being on a boat, and we'll talk to him about being Bears, and we'll talk to him about Caleb Williams, Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC.
The NFC Offensive Player of the Week comes from the Bears game. That's just the rule.
We're
3 weeks in. And that finds you. Congrats to Caleb. The first time he ever won the award, first time a Bears quarterback has won the award since Justin in 2022.
That was the 4-touchdown game for him, right? The Washington Monday night game where him and DJ Moore went crazy.
Okay. Yeah. A Thursday night game?
Thursday
maybe?
Night game. You're right. Thursday night game.
Thursday night game. But yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You know, as much as we dissect Caleb and there were still things to dissect in that game, the numbers are amazing, and the truly heroic plays where his arm talent showed out there multiple times, whether it's the naked bootleg in the face of the defender and he gets it to Rome for the out, whether it's the flea flicker and he throws that off the back foot, you know, the special on the 19th play of the 19-play drive. And no pre-snap penalties, man. I mean, he did everything clean. Good for him.
Sometimes it's just nice to just be like, look at that. Look at this guy. He's got himself an award. He had a nice week. It does not seem like, at least publicly, Ben Johnson cares one bit about him winning Offensive Player of the Week. It just seems like he's been like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's 1 week. We'll see what happens. And I think that's probably good, too. But for Caleb, considering everything that he's gone through over the last 20 games of football, for him to be able to win that award, be celebrated in your town, have your dog go out to the wiener circle while people are cheering you because you got them a free hot dog, and it's a win-win-win for everyone. I think that's great.
Good vibes, babe. I didn't hear this. This is Ben talking about Caleb winning the award from today.
I see it coming along, and I give a lot of credit to the guys in that room with him. You know, JT Barrett's doing a really good job. You know, champion the cause of what we're trying to get done as a coaching staff. And then, you know, Tyson's got his back and Case Keenum's got his back as well. And so it's been a group effort, and he's been receptive to it all. I can't say enough really about the approach. I keep going back to it. When you have the approach that's right, we're going to continue to see him get better. You know, it's kudos to him. You know, he won Offensive Player of the Week there for the NFC, and he came in today and completely unfazed by it. You know, I tried to recognize him in front of the group, and he wasn't having it. You know, it's very stoic, and he's already on to the next game. He knows he needs to have an even better performance here this week to give us the best chance to win.
He's on to Cincinnati, even though they're playing Las Vegas.
Well, good for him, man. I mean, you got to try and stay level. It's a difficult thing. I like riding the highs when they're high, and I can feel the lows when they're low, and we're all better off if we stay level.
Well, I mean, he's turning the page, it seems like.
That's what we'll do at 3 o'clock.
See? Caleb's out here programming our show on multiple levels. We need to take a break. When we come back, Craig Counsell is going to join us. It has been quite the week for the Chicago Cubs. We will figure out how the manager is managing with all of this stuff, and there was a celebration in there too. I know it feels like forever ago.
Bleary-eyed Craig, like, taking props for being one of the young guys who stayed out. I remember that.
But since then, and last night was, oh boy, that was the thing. Craig Counsell joins us next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Manager number 11, Craig Counsell.
Craig Counsell.
The great part about signing up as a baseball fan and the great part about baseball seasons are it's a ride and it's a roller coaster, and it means you're built to withstand the ups and the downs.
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Swing a bouncer, shortstop, Counsell throws, got him. Counsell picked it up clean and threw a strike to first.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Nico Horner.
There was one time I looked at the lineup and was like, wait a minute. I see Nico in the two hole, but Bush is in the one hole. Nico's hitting second against righties. Let's go. Yeah, Craig. Way to go. It's like you've got a consistent presence up there. And I
get that concept. That makes sense.
How do you think Craig Counsell would react if Matt Spiegel was outside of his office going, nice job, Craig. Nice job. How do you think he would
react? I think it would really take it to heart and probably change his decision making.
That's exactly what I can envision. Yeah.
Craig Counsell.
The focus is not to be Craig, but outgetters.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Every couple of weeks, we get the opportunity to talk with Cubs manager Craig Counsell. And the season's winding down. The Cubs are going to the playoffs. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. We are very much looking forward to getting out to Circa starting tomorrow night. Craig, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. What do you do for stress relief?
I get up in the morning and just, I think we just do our normal routines in the morning, whether it's a walk, a workout, talk to family, friends, normal stuff.
I didn't know if like you were a yoga guy or like, cause there are days when I want to do an hour of yoga when I'm stressed. And then there are days when I want to hit the heavy bag for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I think I try to switch up, that part of life for sure. But I don't know if it's always on how I feel. Just, you know, yeah, switch up the workouts always for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think working out is important or walking is important. Absolutely. It's the best medicine there is exercise.
Have you found like a trail or a route that you like to walk now more than others?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Lawrence, you were about to follow up and ask where it is.
No, I don't want to blow up Craig's spot.
Yeah, I was. It's a nice, peaceful walk. I think it would remain that way, but yeah.
Yeah, I want people following him around. I got some questions about the lineup, Craig.
Dave Wanstead told us that his old buddy Jimmy Johnson, he said, you can always find Jimmy at the 21-mile marker on Key West. You can always find him there. And so I was down there, and I was like, well, I know where to find Jimmy. And I thought, like, I can't be the guy who's, like, walking up on Jimmy Johnson. You know?
I mean, you can after you walked into his restaurant and trashed it.
It wasn't that good, Craig. Is it wrong?
You're a bad guy.
It feels kind of wrong, yeah.
We felt a little wrong. I'm a meditation guy myself. I find that helps. And I remember you saying, in response to a question about meditation on this show, I think sometime last year, that breathing is meditation. So I remember you saying that and thinking, well, yeah, because you got an opportunity to calm yourself down. I wonder if you do it in the dugout, if you did in the dugout last night, if you try to breathe in the dugout and stay calm.
I mean, I think it's just like kind of part of your life. So, I mean, yeah, the game is the game. And I think, you know, my job is to kind of look what's next. And that kind of keeps you centered, is just figuring out what happened next. What has already happened is done. It's in the past, and you always got to figure out what could happen next to be prepared for that. And I think that's the best way to. That's the best way I've found to kind of stay in the moment and hopefully make good decisions.
Well, let me drag you to the past for a little bit. The recent past. What did it mean for you? Because I heard you talk about what making the playoffs meant for the guys in the room, but I don't know if I really heard you talk about what it meant for you to take on this job and this challenge of being the manager of the Cubs and to now in year two get them to the playoffs. What does that mean?
Well, the reason that you do this is for all the people around you, I think, and to see, you know, their happiness and to see the fans, you know, the fans' happiness and the fans be able to enjoy a fun team. That's what kind of gives you enjoyment or gives me enjoyment. So that's, you know, everybody's fans have a goal, players have a goal, staff has goals, and helping them reach those goals is what makes us feel good and what makes me feel good. So, that's my enjoyment of it, 100%.
That's cool. You know, I'm going tonight, and I'm looking forward to feeling the energy in the place. Because, like, this, you dream of games of consequence in September. Like, you want this. And there can be reasons that it feels like, well, I wish it wasn't this or I wish it wasn't that or whatever. But, like, this is, I mean, you zoom out. This is what you want, you know? So, like, I remember you telling us a couple weeks ago how games change in this month, how usage changes, you know? And there's Diaz for two innings last night. Did you feel the intensity up a little bit of a notch last night, and you expect that to feel that way tonight and through the weekend, perhaps?
Yeah, we're in a kind of a unique position. And the Mets are in a unique position, and so they're independent of each other, right? And so it is interesting, but it's definitely, last night was a fun game. I mean, we can be not happy about the result, which of course we weren't, but it was a back and forth game that had a lot of baseball action to it. It just shows you, like, I have this handshake with Mark Strittmatter, the bullpen coach, after the game about it, and he says the same thing, because it's what I've always told him, is it's not easy to win a major league game, and that's why you enjoy it. And last night was a pretty good example of that. It's not easy to win a major league game, and you think you got a game going pretty well, and a team does some really good things, and you don't for the last four or five innings, and you get hung with a loss. So, this is a fun week, and it's made more fun by knowing that we are going to the playoffs. Absolutely. it's funny, whenever you accomplish a goal, and the way this works is that the only time is if you win the last game of the World Series, then you're kind of done trying to accomplish things. In our world, like, the goals never stop until you win that last game of the World Series. And so we got another goal in front of us right now.
How's Kate Horton doing?
We decided to do some further testing with Cade, an MRI, to just see what we're dealing with. Optimistic, but we want to make sure we know kind of what we're dealing with, or if we're dealing with anything.
And so you're still waiting on those results at this point?
Yeah, it's this afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't yet comment. So last night seemed positive about his possible future availability, but it's not.
Yeah, I that hasn't changed. I think we just want to make sure, I think, to protect Cade as much as anything, is like, let's make sure we know what's going on here.
If that was a playoff game, you think he guts it out and stays in last night?
I do, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's instructive. How's Kyle? How's Kyle's calf, and how much time have you spent with Kyle's calf, if not Kyle directly, over the past couple of days?
I've really spent very little time with his calf. Kyle's doing better. I mean, I think we're trending towards Kyle playing this weekend. And I think, you know, from his perspective too, it's like, we're just going to have to go out and play. At some point, we're reaching a point where he's going to be able to go out and play, and then we're going to have to kind of diagnose of what we got kind of during the game, right? But I know it's important that he plays, and he feels the same way. And so, I think the game probably will help him at some point. And he needs at-bats, and I think he'd tell you the same thing.
has the game changed in terms of what players might ask for and what they get allowed to do over the past, I don't know, 20 years or 10 years? I don't know. It's like, you know, it takes a lot of trust for Kyle to ask and for you guys to allow him to go work with another medical team. That's a unique situation.
Yeah, I mean, he's worked with somebody that he was working with somebody that he has had success with. A member of our medical staff participated in those workouts or those sessions. And we had reached a point where we were kind of plateauing on an injury that and weren't being able to move further along, and time became of a little is become an issue here, right? So you're willing to try some more things and some different strategies, and so that's where we're at. It's you know, it's an injury that he's frustrated by, because it's kind of lingered longer than he had hoped and we had hoped. But I think we're getting to a good spot. I really do. And you know, the schedule is kind of forcing us to this spot as well.
Everyone's hopeful that Kyle makes it back because he's been so important for you guys offensively this year. Have you guys organizationally started to go through all of the different scenarios if he is hampered or not available for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, the scenario is tonight's lineup because he's not available tonight. And then there's a scenario where he DHs, and there's a scenario where he plays right field. So it's pretty three simple scenarios.
We can
wait to figure that out. I'm pretty sure I can do that pretty quickly.
I'm just saying that with a week to go to the playoffs, that might your roster not change if one of those other two things happen, where if he is only a DH, might that change who's on the roster because of who you'd then be asking to play defense, or you might want to do handed stuff. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, I mean, look, you know, I think, you know, his outfield availability affects Saya's job. I think, you know, I think, look, Moises has made a pretty big case to put himself on a playoff roster as a bat. There's no question. You know, where we get into like the extras, you're always going to have a decision at some point of like, do I want to take this kind of extra skill or do I want this extra skill? So that no matter, take out Kyle, you're always going to make a choice with kind of that last guy on the roster. And it's just you don't get everything, right? You don't get the great defender, you don't get the great hitter, and you don't get the great base runner. You know, you don't get them all, right? So you just got to choose kind of what you have and your strengths and how you think the games will be, how those players will be most useful in those games.
It sounds like there's one hard rule. I like that. You can't get it all. But considering how many games you've managed in the playoffs, are there any other lessons that you feel like, you know, that's my Northern Star right there that I won't get away from blank? Or is it just a matter of none of that stuff really matters because what matters is who you're matching up against and who's available?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd say there's anything from the position player side that is with this team that is, you know, some Northern Star we have to seek. I think having your pitching, you know, your important pitchers fresh going into the series would be the one thing. If we could do, I would really like to do. You know, just because you know you're going to lean on some guys more than you do in a you know normal 162 game season.
You know, when you talk about Moises Ballesteros making a good case, there's something about maybe it's because he's fun to watch and because he just the way that he rakes. But like I could see him having a meaningful kind of out of nowhere moment in a postseason and people in another market going, who the hell's this guy? You know, it's like because that happens when Craig Counsell homers in the NLDS. You know, in 2001, or homers in the World Series, and there's people going like, Craig Council's killing us? Like, is there a favorite moment, or like, can you remember a player who showed up in the postseason when you were a young fan? You're like, oh my God, who the hell is this guy? He's like the star of the series. And he was just, you know, just like a role player during the year, or a young kid out of nowhere during the year.
I don't, you put me on the spot with that. I think the name that has kind of recently popped into my head was, and it's not a household name by any means, but like the Texas Rangers 2 years ago won the World Series, and their best reliever was
Josh Sabores. Is that right?
It was Josh Sabores and Jose Leclerc.
Jose Leclerc, yeah.
Right? And like, so that's kind of, you know, and I'm pretty sure very few people know those two names, right? And so that's how it can happen in the playoffs, and that's what, Frank, if you're going to win, that's how it's going to need to happen, is that you're going to have to get surprises. And so whether it be, you know, Moises Ballesteros giving you the surprise, or Michael Soroka giving you a surprise, you know, you don't know who it is, but to win, yeah, somebody's going to have to do it for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's Soroka last night, and he's got nasty stuff. You never know. So your mind's wide open in terms of what their roles could be, even now, as you're figuring out who your outgetters are.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I mean, Brad Keller's going to pitch a lot, and Kittredge is going to pitch a lot, and Thielbar is going to face lefties a lot, right? So, I mean, we've got to lean on some guys, and Palencia is going to, you know, be a part of this. So, I think, you know, we're you know some of the guys, right? But we're also going to have guys step up. There's no question.
Yeah, I was thinking about Buddy Biancolana, Mark Lemke, like those kind of things.
Yeah,
we're popping into my. You never know who it's going to be.
Craig, do you have a preference between day games or night games at Wrigley for a playoff series?
No, that's getting down the list of things that like I don't have control over. So like, you know, if you want to manage your stress, don't worry about the things you don't have control over. To try to bring it full circle for Speaks there.
Woosa. Oh,
thanks, man. I appreciate the full circle on managing the stress. Yeah, that's helpful.
I mean, it speaks directly to me because I worry about all the things that I can't control.
Lawrence is the worrier of the two of us, Craig. It's like, and it has an effect on me because I try to be positive and I come in here and Lawrence is like trying to recruit me to Worry Town where he's the mayor.
That's not always true, but sometimes I'm 100% right about stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Like, worry gets rewarded, Craig. It's not right, but it happens. You know,
I would say it's a little bit more educated guesses than it is worry. You know, whatever.
Did you guys need to?
Yeah, I mean, TV time of games is like, because I guess why I don't, time of games is like size of market question. You know, that's where it gets determined, right? It's a TV question.
It is a TV question, but that's kind of the. That's the interesting thing, though, because in seasons past, had the Cubs popped up in the playoffs, like, oh, well, that's the Cubs and that's the Chicago market. But now you possibly have two New York, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and then you've got to, you know, figure out the matrix of getting the most eyes on it from one end of the country to the other. Like, It's a fascinating idea. I also just think that Wrigley daytime baseball
is special.
Like it is. It's special and it's fun. And I think that it presents the game in a way that maybe other stadiums or experiences might not be able to. But that doesn't mean it's the best environment necessarily to play in. But the weather's been great. So you see all the weird things that go through my head, Craig? Like there's a lot that I'm thinking about.
That's what I deal with.
Every day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about all those things, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. I thought Matt Shaw having a chance to speak about why he wasn't with the team Sunday was really good yesterday. And he talked about how important that person was to him. And then Ian Happ had empathy for him in talking about it with the media, too. I wondered if that was something that you needed to talk about with the team or as a group. Did you guys need to address that? Because I could see it, you know, maybe being something that just needed to be talked about as a group together.
No, we did not talk about it as a group. Yeah, I mean, we've certainly had some individual conversations about it, but we did not talk about it as a group. I've talked to Matt quite a bit about it. And, you know, I thought he outlined it well. This was for him. This was, you know, a friend and a person that he shared a bond with through his faith and through the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, he felt that it was important that he be there. And I think, you know, when you just humanize it and keep it there, it becomes really simple and really easy. And that's about just supporting a teammate and a friend and a person that is grieving. And that's what all we were trying to do.
And he expressed appreciation for that support. When he spoke yesterday, he said speaking with you and with teammates was useful for him. So that's what you guys have to do for each other, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's like leaving was very hard for Matt, right? And I think maybe that kind of gets missed, is that, you know, he agonized over that. It was very difficult for him to leave. And it's not easy to make those decisions. And if you've done jobs where, you know, you got to show up, right? And life happens, right? And it's hard, and you end up, you know, I know I've made some bad decisions in that area. Mm-hmm. So you definitely emphasize it, and we have a little bit of a, you know, it's unique in that perspective, from that perspective.
Well, Craig, we appreciate you jumping on as per usual. Good luck tonight against the Mets, and hopefully we will talk to you in a couple of weeks, because that would mean you guys have advanced in the playoffs.
Let's do it. You got me so fired up. It's the first time I'm that fired up to talk to you guys.
We could tell.
I'm looking forward to feeling the vibes tonight, man. Let's bring it. Let's feel that intensity tonight. That should be fun. Thanks, Craig.
All right, enjoy yourself, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
That is Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
See? He's got to find a way to be in a good mood amidst all this stuff. He's got to find a way.
Yeah, I've got to find a way.
Struggling?
It's driving me crazy.
What is just the...
I just don't feel like I can get on the same frequency with him. And
I thought this was good.
I thought it was really good.
I thought it was really good. I thought you started it with the stress relief place. I thought that was great.
I like to walk Promontory Point and the Midway off of UFC's campus.
Oh, there you go. You don't mind if people come up on you.
I mean, people rarely come to the South Side, so yeah. Sure.
And when they do come up on Lawrence, you know what they say? Hey, where's Spigs?
That did happen, and that did happen on the South Side.
Where's Spigs?
That's what I'm saying. It's usually Wani.
Where is Spigs?
It was not Wani.
It wasn't?
It was a young black man driving a sensible car down 63rd Street who asked me that question.
He said, where's Spigs?
He literally, Spies, I'm not kidding.
I love it. People just picture, they figure we're together all the time.
It's the corner of 63rd and Woodlawn.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Where's the Y? Is it 63rd and Stoney?
Yeah, it's about four blocks away. It's okay. 63rd and Stoney. So I'm walking across the street, and that walk across Woodlawn there is actually really, like, it's only like eight steps. And someone honks their horn, and I, Lawrence! And I turn around, because you never know who it might be. It might be a friend, a family member, whoever.
Could have been me.
It was definitely not you. You never go that far south. You get hives if you go south of McCormick Place.
How dare you, sir?
It's the truth.
No, it isn't.
But then he goes, hey.
And we're kinda, Spigs.
He leaned out the window and did the gesture. Did the gesture.
He did the hands up.
Where's Spigs? And then he sped off when the light turned green.
I just think that's
It was
amazing.
Great. It was really great.
I hope you get that out in the wild a lot. Folks, if you see Lawrence Holmes out in the wild, make sure you ask him, because you know he'll be wondering.
Hey, where is Spigs?
Yeah, there's two different ones. And he set you up for them last week. That's in, like, you know, the world imploded upon itself last week. He's like, all right, Tanny, be ready. Be ready. He set you up twice. We'll talk to Dave Wanstead tomorrow on our show, but our show is going to be in a different time slot. Yesterday was a host swap. Tomorrow is a show swap. I suggested a pet swap, but Mark Grody's not interested. Plus, I think he's the only one who has a pet.
Well, yeah. Regardless, we're looking forward to hearing Layla Rahimi on Afternoons.
Tomorrow.
Yep. I stand by it. Yep.
He said it yesterday. He said it yesterday too.
Layla wants me to stop doing it. She's still here because she's getting ready for the afternoon show.
On the score?
This is the afternoon show.
Right. She was hosting it yesterday. I don't know if you heard, Tanny said that a lot of people were really interested in her hosting the afternoon show, specifically with me.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys did a nice job, I heard.
I thought the show was great.
That's
so
good.
So did Tanny.
Well, I thought Middays was good. How about that?
Did you?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
It actually was pretty great.
It was really fun. Those things.
Nico's awesome.
Nico was awesome. Tim Jenkins was great. And it's fun to see how the other half is living.
It's fun to be done it too.
Yeah, that has its moments.
And we're going to be done it too tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. That's going
to
be fun.
But not really, though, because then we have to.
And we have to fly to Vegas.
Yep.
Oh, boy, somebody's got to do it.
By the way, tonight, the Cubs continue their series against the Mets. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30 with the first pitch at 7:05. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We need to take a break. When we come back on this very here show, why don't we turn the page on the Bears? That's next here on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.